Iranians prepare to mark the new year in a matter of hours. Iran marks the 62nd anniversary of the nationalization of oil industry as a breakthrough in the nation's movement for independence. Syria condemns militants' use of chemical weapons as the first act by the so-called opposition and Trump government. Scores of people are killed or injured in Baghdad attacks. And 7 U.S. Marines are killed, several others injured in a training exercise in Nevada, United States. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News. In a few hours from now, Iranians will mark the start of the new year, which is called Nowruz. Nowruz, which coincides with the first day of spring and the solar calendar, is mostly celebrated in Iran, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, India, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and Uzbekistan. For Iranians, Nowruz is a celebration of renewal and change, a time to visit relatives and friends and pay respect to senior family members. The International Day of Nowruz was registered on the UNESCO list of the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity on February 23, 2010. On behalf of the IRIN and English News Desk, I would like to take this opportunity to wish all those who follow the Persian calendar a very happy new year. The United Nations organization held a ceremony at its headquarters in New York to mark the International Day of Nowruz. The ceremony was attended by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, representatives, ambassadors, along with diplomats from other member states. The ceremony was co-organized by Iran's permanent mission to the UN and 11 other countries. Addressing the ceremony, the UN chief expressed pleasure with his presence in the event and said, "Nowruz as an ancient tradition bringing people of diverse cultures closer together." He added that Nowruz is a culture shared by different countries from Central Asia to Caucasus and the Middle East. Also during the ceremony, Iran's UN Ambassador Mohammad Khazai described Nowruz as a symbol of unity among nations. Iran has marked the 62nd anniversary of the nationalization of its oil industry as a momentous breakthrough in the nation's movement for independence. On March 20, 1961, members of the Iranian parliament passed a bill introduced by then Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh on the nationalization of the oil industry. Mossadegh garnered the support of his nationalist party and religious groups led by prominent cleric Ayatollah Abul Qasim Kashani for the initiative. Experts say before nationalization of Iran's oil industry, the British government, which controlled Iran's oil industry through the Anglo-Persian Oil Company, reaped higher profits from Iran's oil resources than the Iranian government. Some scholars believe that nationalization of Iran's oil industry was the main reason behind the 1953 joint CIA MI6-sponsored coup d'etat, codenamed Operation Ajax, which overthrew Mossadegh. The Iranian oil minister says nationalization of Iran's oil industry was a nationwide move which had roots in the endeavors of several generations. Rostam Qasemi made her remarks in a message issued on the occasion of the anniversary of oil industry nationalization. Qasemi said the Iranian history is full of courage and resistance of its people in their struggles with global arrogance, and the nationalization of oil industry is among one of the brilliant events in the country's history. He said the event is also a manifestation of campaign against arrogant powers. The oil minister also underlined that the enemies of the Islamic Revolution have launched a full-scale assault against the Iranian nation, targeting the country's economy and its oil industry in particular. He added that the role of Iranian experts in the oil industry to defuse these plots is of prime importance. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs says the Syrian nation will not allow foreign elements to draw the country's political roadmap. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made a remark in reaction to the meeting of Syria's foreign-backed opposition coalition known as the Syrian National Coalition in the Turkish city of Istanbul, during which the opposition groups chose an interim prime minister. Amir Abdullahian said the solution for the problems in Syria is solely political, and the people of the country will not allow foreigners to decide for them from the outside. The Iranian diplomat also condemned foreign intervention in Syria and slammed the arming of the Syrian militants, as well as the inaction toward the ongoing violence in the country, as the alliance of the extremism and state terrorism. He further noted that the last efforts by the terrorist groups against the Syrian nation and government are doomed to failure, and called on all involved parties to take part in effective dialogue aimed at achieving national consensus in Syria. Syrian Information Minister Omran El-Zubi described militants' use of chemical weapons as the first act by the so-called opposition interim government on Tuesday. The Syrian minister also said Turkey and Qatar, which support militants fighting against the government of President Bashar al-Assad, bore legal, moral, and political responsibility for the chemical attack in the northern city of Aleppo. At least 26 people were killed and over 100 others were injured after militants fired rocks containing poisonous gases into Aleppo's Khan al-Asal village. Women and children are among the victims.
A rocket was fired this morning from the Nayrab area, directed towards the city of Aleppo. It landed in an area called Khan al-Asal. The rocket contained poisonous gases.
Meanwhile, Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Alexander Lukashevich said in a statement that the fact that weapons of mass destruction happen to be in the hands of the militants is further aggravating the situation in Syria.
According to information coming from Damascus, in the early morning on March 19 in the province of Aleppo, a case of poisonous gas chemical weapon used by the armed opposition was recorded. We believe this represents a new, extremely alarming and dangerous development in the Syrian crisis. We are very seriously concerned.
And now a recap of our top stories. Iranians prepare to mark the new year in a matter of hours. Iran marks the 62nd anniversary of nationalization of oil industry as a breakthrough in the nation's movement for independence. Syria condemns militants' use of chemical weapons as the first act by the so-called opposition interim government. Scores of people are killed or injured in Baghdad attacks. And seven U.S. Marines are killed, several others injured in a training exercise in Nevada, U.S. Violence in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad has killed at least 65 people and injured 200 others. The attacks were carried out in Shia-populated neighborhoods of Baghdad on Tuesday. Security forces launched search operations and closed off key roads in the capital after the attacks. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the bombings, but Al-Qaeda-linked militants often target civilians and government targets in a bid to destabilize the country. A decade after U.S.-led forces invaded Iraq, leading to the fall of the longtime dictator Saddam Hussein, many Iraqis say they have not seen any of the benefits they were promised. The Iraq War began shortly before dawn in Baghdad on Thursday, March 20, 2003, with U.S. air strikes on the capital. Shortly afterwards, President George W. Bush, addressing Americans on television late on March 19, U.S. time, said the offensive was underway. Iraqis say they are still feeling the consequences of the controversial war.
The Americans did not do anything when they came to Iraq. They destroyed us. Actually, we were living under hard conditions during Saddam's time. But now nothing has changed. Only the salaries have been increased by the Iraqi government. The Americans did not do anything. They say they granted freedom to Iraq. What freedom are they talking about?
The Afghan government describes the American-led war in Afghanistan as aimless and unwise. saying the U.S.-led war killed thousands of innocent Afghans across the war-torn country. The spokesman for Afghan president questioned the U.S.-led war inside their country and said, despite that NATO knows the root of terrorism lies outside the country, you are still waging the war inside. Describing the U.S.-led war as aimless and unwise to continue, Ayman Faizi regretted that the so-called war on terror has resulted in the loss of thousands of innocent lives and destruction of their homes. Afghan President Karzai also has made several anti-U.S. remarks in recent weeks and accused Washington of colluding with the Taliban in an attempt to justify the presence of foreign forces in Afghanistan beyond 2014. At least 7 U.S. Marines have been killed and several others injured in a training exercise in the U.S. state of Nevada. The incident occurred when a massive explosion rocked a military ammunition storage facility located at the Hawthorne Army Depot in western Nevada. Officials refused to elaborate on the cause of the explosion and if any civilians were among the casualties. The Hawthorne Army Depot has been used for the destruction and storage of the demilitarized ammunition. In the 1920s, a crippling explosion in the U.S. main artillery depot in New Jersey called for a relocation to Nevada due to its remoteness.
We had an accident, and it had nothing to do with our ammunition mission here. It was a accident that happened with the Marines that were training down here. And what I can tell you is that there was a few people that were care flighted.
Cyprus on Tuesday expressed anger and concern as the parliament is set to vote on a controversial tax on bank deposits that could batter not only locals, but thousands of Europeans and Russians with business interests on the island. People were seen withdrawing cash as banks, which were closed for a second day running, were expected to remain shut on Wednesday as well to avoid a bank run before the tax is voted on. Several hundred of protesters also gathered outside Cyprus Parliament opposing a bank deposit tax that has sent the country swirling into turmoil.
It's a mistake, a tragic mistake. They are using Cyprus as an experiment to see how it will work in Cyprus and how people will react in order to do it in other countries. In Spain, there is already concern because they are afraid they would be next.
I'm concerned, and we do have some money, and we are trying to understand what sort of losses are we going to bear because of all that. Yes? The euro is damaged badly by this decision. I don't know why they've done it.
And finally, the unemployment rate has increased in half of the U.S. states, with employers adding the fewest jobs in 7 months. The Department of Labor says the rate increased in 25 states for the month of January from December, with employers adding only 119,000 jobs, down from 219,000 in December. The governmental agency also points out that the nationwide unemployment rate increased in January to 7.9%, with the rate of job increases remaining for far below what economists recommended to maintain healthy employment rates. California and Rhode Island marked the states with the highest unemployment rate at nearly 10%. Nearly 6 million Americans are currently receiving jobless benefits. And with only a few hours to the new Iranian year, Nowruz, I say goodbye and wish you farewell. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.